With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, I have some news.
We are jumping right into it after a long weekend.
Yes, of course we are. I wasn't going to hold back on this. I have great news.
I'm excited.
I have finally had sex. Yes!
Wow, that's all you get for it.
No, that's actually a pretty great. I'm actually pretty proud of that. You can't downplay this.
No, I'm proud of you.
You know?
I mean, I didn't even know how long it had been. Like, you made it seem like it's the biggest deal.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry that you're in a relationship and you have sex all the time.
I take it for granted.
But we don't get to have those things. And then with the pandemic of it all, it's harder to kind of, like, you know, figure it out. But no, like, I had some real good sex, y'all, and it's been a while. It's been a little bit of a mini. You know, sometimes you just need an itch to be scratched.
I'm sure.
And, maybe itch isn't the right thing to bring up when you're talking about sex just because of the STDs of it all.
Oh.
But I am very excited about it.
But the thing is, again, did you navigate all the questions?
Yes, of course. You know, one of my first questions is, of course, asking about we're having really responsible questions about sexual health.
Of course.
Then, of course, the next ones are you vaccinated by the big three?
Uh-huh.
And the big three being, you know, the Pfizer, the Moderna, or the J&J. And are you boosted? You know, all these things.
What about are you negative right now? Like, did you do a test?
You know what? When you're horny, you're just going at it.
I felt that way. I felt like that was going to be your answer.
Just like, sometimes when you're horny, you just gotta get to it.
You hope for the best.
And do what you're doing, you know? But I am very happy, and I hope everyone else gets them some, because that's what Martin Luther King wanted for me.
Freedom.
Sexual. That is freedom for me.
We like you happy, so have
Thank
more sex.
You.
Please. Give Ryan more action, more booty.
Oh, my God. You know, I would enjoy it very much.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing. Appreciate it.
I wanted to
always
start off the show on a high note.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Lots
everyone.
Coming up. We're going to be getting into the 5G rollout and its impact, what you need to know.
What, in the QAnon? I know QAnoners are going wild over the 5G networks.
A lot of conspiracy theories. That's in 30 minutes. And a new foundation to help with survivors of conversion therapy at 3:20 p.m. Pacific, 6:20 p.m. Eastern. But first, let's get into some what's trending this hour. Jim Obergefell, who, you know, brought marriage equality to the nation, is actually running for the Ohio House of Representatives. He is a Democrat, and he announced his candidacy in a Twitter video this morning.
Some people underestimated me and my fight for marriage equality, and that was a mistake. You deserve to have someone in the state house who will fight for you to create good jobs, great schools for all kids, access to quality health care for everyone, and a clean, healthy Lake Erie. It's a big job, but I've been there, and I'm ready to be that state representative for you.
I mean, that's pretty historic. Like, the person who led marriage equality,
yeah.
I would vote for him.
I mean, well, I still got to check in and
that's
see
true.
If they're, you know,
I shouldn't make too many assumptions.
It clearly takes nothing for you. I mean, it's a huge thing, but, you
it's
know.
It's just like you and your questions around sex.
Honestly, it took me nothing. The bare minimum.
Okay, now the federal government has actually quietly launched its website to sign up for free COVID-19 tests, allowing people to order a max of 4 tests shipped directly to your home. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki confirmed today that the government website to order COVID tests is up and running as part of their beta phase. COVIDtest.gov is out right now. So, yeah, go check it out. The official launch is happening tomorrow morning. And that was somewhat trending this hour. What's happening in entertainment news, Ryan?
Okay, well, we got lots to talk about. I just got to mentally prepare everyone. Today's tea reports are juicy.
Okay.
Let's start off with this one. Another day, another moment that Jamie Lynn Spears keeps talking about Britney. And this time she's saying her sister apologized to her. It's time for the tea report. Those pop culture stories trending right now. So Miss Jamie Lynn Spears loves playing with fire, clearly, because she claims to have received an apology from her estranged sister, Britney Spears, and she's sharing the text message with the public in her new memoir. She wrote this, in a recent text for my sister, she stated herself, I know it's not your fault, and I'm sorry for being so angry at you. Although I'm your big sister, I need you more than you need me and always have, end quote. Now, Britney's reps did not respond when Page Six reached out to confirm the authenticity of the message. And while it is unclear when, you know, Britney actually sent that alleged apology, she, you know, Jamie Lynn Spears actually included it in the chapter of her book that details the bombshell June 2021 court hearing in which Britney said her family should be in jail for benefiting from her nearly 14-year conservatorship, which was terminated in November. She basically ends, I guess, that chapter saying, I pray for the day. She shares these words with the world. She says, I have no control over anything the media reports and cannot be held responsible for something I absolutely have no control over.
So you might not have wanted to write a book about the whole thing.
You know, and that's my thing is, as she's been going on this whole entire press tour, yeah, Britney may have said this, but guess what? Britney's feelings are allowed to change as well. She's allowed to be even more upset with you because you're using all of this to you know, promote your book and to write about it and put yourself back into the spotlight. It's actually really gross, in my opinion.
What else would she have talked about? Like how she was on Disney or something?
No, but I mean, no, she actually, she was on Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon, but, I knew it was
Dan Schneider. There was a huge scandal around Zoe 101 where he was accused of basically having inappropriate behavior with some of the children on that show.
Hey.
And just like how he treated other her coworkers. And she skipped around a lot of that, which could have really been talked about and could have been actually interesting. But instead, she's taking the easy ticket here talking about her sister, unfortunately. But yeah, I got more Tea Report coming up next. Let us know what your thoughts are at LGT Show Everywhere.
Okay, well, could a wave of false negative tests be fueling the latest COVID wave? The Washington Post joins us to talk test efficacy after this. A ton of people have been talking about false negatives, false positives, and supposedly, according to experts, it's really been fueling the latest COVID-19 surge.
Well, of course it has. You know, that's been my main worry is these, you know, these antigen tests, if they are actually that reliable.
Yeah.
And for me, I feel like I've had friends who have gotten like false, you know, either false positives or sometimes even false negatives. And it's just one of those things where it gets very confusing, especially with everything we're going through now. And it seems like there's no system to kind of combat that, that is like quick and around the corner.
True. Well, we want to hear what the options are and where we're headed. Katie Shepard is joining us, reporter at the Washington Post. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So the FDA even acknowledged the issue we just spoke about on December 28th, noting that early data suggests that antigen tests do detect the Omicron variant, but may have reduced sensitivity. So how big of an impact was this shift of information?
So the what the FDA said in December is that the tests are still detecting Omicron cases, but may be less sensitive. And the impact of that and the early data that experts have been collecting is that it seems to suggest that these tests may not be as sensitive, especially in the first couple days of infection. So what that's going to mean for people on the ground, out in the world, taking these tests is that you might be exposed to Omicron one day, develop symptoms pretty quickly, maybe the next day, take a rapid antigen test at home and get a negative result. But then in the days following, on day two or three after you've had symptoms for a little while, you might get a positive test, whether that's a PCR test or even a second rapid test that you take at home might come up positive, even though you had that first negative result.
Okay. And I guess for me, when obviously Joe Biden's big plan in motion is getting the country, you know, these free at-home tests. But is there a worry that these tests won't be as accurate with especially this news?
Actually, the good news there is that some of the tests that the Biden administration will be sending out are from two companies whose tests were authorized late in December that actually in lab tests have been shown to detect Omicron better than the tests that were previously on the market. So some of the tests that they're sending out are going to be very, very good at detecting Omicron, even in those early days of infection. So that's kind of the silver lining here.
Yeah, and some of the stories you profiled in your piece were very sad, like a grandson coming back from school and giving it to his grandmother.
Yes, these are people who are trying to do everything that they can to protect the vulnerable people in their lives. And the McInnes family that I talked to went so far as having their son, who is coming back from study abroad, take six rapid tests at home after he knew that he had been exposed to the virus on the 21st, but they still wanted him to be able to have Christmas dinner with his grandmother if he wasn't testing positive and didn't have symptoms. And the first PCR test that he was able to book was just after Christmas. So they didn't find out that he had actually been positive during that time until after the holiday had ended. So it was very alarming for them, and they were pretty surprised when that PCR test came back positive after the string of negative rapid tests that he took.
Yeah, and we're talking with Katie Shepherd from the Washington Post. And it's so crazy because that was one of the big things for me around the holidays, because of the uptick of everyone wanting to be tested. It was also you were getting the delays because it was so much. It was overwhelming a lot of these testing sites to get the results back to everyone so quickly, which is, I mean, one of the biggest concerns. But are public health experts actually shocked by this lack of accuracy? Are they kind of like, yeah, we kind of saw this coming?
Experts say that the rapid tests that you can take at home were never meant to definitively tell you whether or not you have COVID. They are best used serially, so that means you take a test one day and then follow it up the next day or even a couple of days later with a second test. And you're more likely to catch an infection that way. But your body has to produce enough of the antigen that the virus produces in order to show up on the test. So if you just haven't been sick long enough, or if you've been sick for so long that most of the virus is out of your system, you might get a negative test even though there's still some virus hanging around in your system. So that's kind of one of the limitations to these tests that experts have known about from the beginning. And it's one of the reasons that it is definitely possible for you to get a negative rapid test and then get a positive PCR test.
Definitely. So, you know, we mentioned what Biden is doing now, sending these tests to homes. Like, what else is happening on the horizon, and how are they going to make a fix to this issue?
So the new tests that were authorized in late December have been shown in the lab to work well in detecting Omicron, and that's kind of the good news here. So the Biden administration has bought a significant number of those tests from those companies and is going to be shipping those directly to people who sign up on the administration's website to get those tests starting as early as the end of this month. So those new tests that we know from the early data and lab testing work well in detecting Omicron are on the way, and people will be able to have access to them through the Biden administration very soon.
Okay, and hopefully also locally at a pharmacy or at any of those like
exactly.
pop-up places, right?
Oh, do you know how many actual tests are coming with the ones that Biden administration are sending out? Is it just one? Like, how many are there, you know?
Each household can sign up for four tests at the moment.
Okay.
That's the initial cap.
Okay.
So that if you sign up on the website, you can get four.
Got it. Well, that was Katie Shepherd, a reporter at The Washington Post. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Well, next up, could the rollout of 5G wreak havoc in the sky? All the news that we're hearing about next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There are a lot of conversations happening around 5G signals.
Whoa,
okay,
I don't even get it.
Yeah, well, I want to break that down because a lot of people don't.
Well, I just don't understand. Like, you know, I feel like the QAnoners say all these things about 5G that you just do not want to listen to, especially the beginning of COVID and the height of the pandemic. A lot of them were tying it to, like, 5G, which was wild. I'm just like, girl, and it doesn't do anything better for my phone.
Well, I want to get into that. I mean, I don't even know. I have 4G, I guess. Who knows? I can't even keep up.
Oh, well, you're in the past. Come to the future, Shira.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm a techie, but sometimes I lose track of this type of stuff. Leslie Josephs joins us right now, CNBC airline reporter, because we are talking about the impact of this on airlines
The wild part.
Not just our, you know, personal phones. But Leslie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Can you break down 5G in general before we get into the impact on the industry of airlines and everything, just so people get what's going on?
Yeah, so 5G is extremely important to the development and future growth plans of AT&T, Verizon, a host of other economic interests. In short, it's just a super fast wireless service that is coming to the U.S. In some frequencies that already exist, but this is the issue that's happening right now is that on Wednesday, tomorrow, Verizon and AT&T are rolling out this new service that they paid $80 billion to get. So they bid on that part of the spectrum and they won that auction. And the problem is that piece of the spectrum that they now have and they're going to be using for this super fast wireless service is that it sits next to the same frequency that a lot of modern aircraft, especially instruments, are using for critical readings. So one of those is a radio altimeter, and that's something that measures, you know, how far the aircraft is from the ground. You know, pretty important stuff. So that's some of the issue, and that's kind of why you have the airlines sort of fighting the telecom industry and the FAA and the FCC kind of all mixed up in this big battle.
So wait, were there these same concerns around 4G? Like, because it seems like we're only going to continue to get more Gs.
I mean, it's not so much about the number of G. It's not that it's 5G itself and, you know.
Well, it's stronger, right? Or it's using different radio, like frequencies?
about it, it's more about the location of on the spectrum that 5G is being offered. I mean, T-Mobile has some 5G service already at a different place in the spectrum. This is about proximity. It's the neighbor of the same frequency that aircraft are using, and not all aircraft, or not all aircraft instruments would be affected by this.
So wait,
the FAA, the regulators are pretty concerned about possible interference in an aircraft. You know, you can't get incorrect readings to your aircraft. That could affect a whole host of other systems on board.
You would think they saw this coming, right? As they said, okay, we need to do this to be, I guess, in more better proximity, and this will be a better technology, right? Faster. But, you know, even in the development of it years ago, I'm sure we're just hearing it, you know, later in the game, that this was a concern. Why haven't they figured that out? Isn't this kind of last minute to deal with it with, you know, Verizon and AT&T wanting to roll it out tomorrow?
It's super last minute. So it's worth noting. So Verizon and AT&T have come to an agreement to delay the rollout of the service near airports, which is what airlines were most recently asking. But this was such an 11th hour agreement that some airlines, foreign airlines, Japan Airlines, ANA, Emirates, Air India, are already canceling flights to the U.S. because, like, they don't want to send their crews over or strand passengers, etc. So it was so last minute that they had already canceled their flights and gotten kind of warnings about what could happen if they, you know, they maybe denied landings, things like that. It's not kind of like planes are falling out of the sky. It's more like you might have to divert to another airport and issues like that. So those airlines have already canceled. So far, we're not seeing any cancellations from the U.S. airlines since the agreement came out with Verizon and AT&T today, which was very, very last minute. But it does go to show that there has been this pretty significant communication breakdown over the last few months of, you know, what is safe, what isn't, what are the mitigation measures in place, and how does that affect aircraft? I mean, airlines were warning that they would have to cancel, you know, thousands of flights a year, strand passengers, lots of passengers would be affected and not even be able to fly, possibly, if there wasn't any mitigation put into place.
This probably doesn't help the narrative around 5G, considering there's already so much misinformation and conspiracies around it.
On the focus on aviation and what it means, which opens up a whole host of other questions of if regulators have, you know, concerns, safety concerns that are significant enough about key systems on aircraft that could affect safety, what does the testing entail and why wasn't it done before and questions like that.
When you're saying safety.
But it is rolling out. It's still coming out tomorrow.
Real quick, because we only have a short amount of time. Yeah. Real quick. When you're saying safety, are you meaning like the plane's going to go down or something?
No. So we're not talking about planes are not like this isn't like planes are going to be falling out of the sky, but the FAA is concerned that aircraft, because of interference, it could give aircraft wrong readings, like it's not as, you know, far away from the ground or close to the ground.
Okay.
There we go. That's what I wanted to know. I feel like we were talking about stuff, but we weren't getting to the root of what everyone wanted to know.
Still very.
Like, I don't want to be on an airplane and then, you know, but, you know, it's crazy.
Okay. Well, thank you for talking about this and breaking it down for us. I feel like I need to get more into 5G. I want to know more about it. So we're going to bring you that and Let's Go There very soon. But that was Leslie Joseph, CNBC airline reporter. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Next up, the latest study on privilege. Four animals next. Well, we talk about privilege a lot on this show, but I don't think we've talked about this type of privilege before.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Animal privilege.
Okay,
that's right.
In particular, what animal?
We're coming for you, animals. Well, it's a bunch of animals. Basically, there was a study in the Journal of Behavioral Ecology, and it was talking about how animals are born with different degrees of wealth. They specifically mentioned squirrels. They mentioned a hyena, how certain ones inherit a social rank from their moms within the maternal line and priority of access to food within shared territories. So just like humans, animals have family lines, places where they obviously are dropped into. I mean, they're born somewhere and they stay there.
It's not exactly like humans because honestly, I think it's the first time something brown has privilege. If you're thinking about squirrels.
Where's the sound effect for that? I mean, come on, Justin. Producer Justin.
What sound effect would you like? I just thought about that. That was like fresh off the dough.
Whatever.
I don't know what sound effect
that was.
How dare y'all miss out on it?
No, I loved it. Wow. I was just waiting for like a zinger there.
Is it really the same? Because I mean, like, I mean, animals, they don't really have, when you think about like societal like concepts, that all of this is like really made up. And so like, it's not, animals aren't like thinking of like hierarchy and societal things like in the same way that we are, because unless they are like they're.
No, we're the only mammals that have the most advanced brain. So
right.
With
and
that.
So I'm like, we don't really know if this is the like same thing as privilege.
Well, with that comes choice, right? Our ability to create the life. There, of course, is nature and how we're born and our genes and all that, but there's a ton of nurture in that. That's something that other animals don't have and what makes us different.
Unless you're like an apex, well, not an apex predator, but unless you're like a predator, like, you know, you're the top of the food chain.
Well, that's like, too.
That,
like
that is a privilege.
But that's a privilege, but that's also like, they're
but
born
they're not
into
about
that.
It like that. That's just the circle of life.
Exactly.
Like, what are we talking about here? Like, this is one of those things where I feel like we need to take a damn nap because we're too woke.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like almost like I get having this study, but using privilege in it was almost like a buzzword to get people to pay attention to the work they were doing.
Probably, yeah. I just think it's someone's, I don't even know if this is tax dollar funded, but someone invested in these people to do this study, and I would like them to like lose all of their money.
You like our money back.
No, I don't think some people deserve money because they put it towards stupid stuff like this.
Yeah, I mean, it really shows you that squirrels have more privilege than we thought they did.
Well, honestly, I'm not really sure about that. Have you tried Taco? Well, you wouldn't try them, but Taco Bell has new wings, and I haven't seen a lot of squirrels, and I'm assuming those wings are made out of squirrel meat.
That's disgusting.
I'm just saying, it's so just weird that Taco Bell has wings.
Oh, okay. There you go.
And it can't be actual chicken.
We know it's not. We know it's not.
Think about it. If you haven't seen squirrels and you live near a Taco Bell, maybe.
Yep, more music coming up right here on Channel Q. But right now, we've got more show. We're going to be finding out more about an organization that helps those who have dealt with conversion therapy in 30 minutes. Plus, the internet has rallied around a man's terrible first date. More on that story next hour.
All right.
But first, let's get into some what's trending this hour. Jessica Watkins, a trans woman who is one of the most prominent figures in the January 6th insurrection trials, has actually maintained her innocence and is going to argue her case at the end of January. According to Watkins, she was in D.C. as a security for various speakers for the events leading up to the Capitol invasion, and her posts on Parler actually show this as evidence. In another Parler post, she wrote that she had been a part of the storming of the Capitol. Yet she's innocent.
Yeah, you know, I guess what? Trans people, some trans people are trash too. So I think that shows equal opportunity for people who are trash.
There you go. Now, the Select House Committee investigating the January 6th Capitol riot issued subpoenas to Rudy Giuliani. Of course, a former lawyer for ex-pres Donald Trump. Also, Kimberly Guilfoyle. You know, that's the, is it the fiancé or girlfriend?
Fiancé.
Yeah, they're engaged.
Yes, of Trump Jr., right? And Eric Trump. They're going to be getting all those text messages, calls, emails, and information, or at least try to, from all those folks. The committee said that the new subpoenas were aimed at those four individuals. Well, I guess we're missing one right now. But who publicly promoted unsupported claims about the 2020 election and participated in attempts to disrupt or delay the certification of election results. And finally, do we have a clip for that? No. Well, we have this clip. ESPN's Stephen Smith detailed his recent nearly fatal battle with COVID.
I had 103 degree fever every night. Woke up with chills and pool of sweat. Headaches were massive. Coughing profusely, and it got to a point that right before New Year's Eve, I was in the hospital New Year's Eve into New Year's Day. That's how I brought in the new year. And they told me, had I not been vaccinated, I wouldn't be here. That's how bad I was.
I'm so shocked. This is how you know we have a straight producer now, y'all.
I'm the one who chose this.
No, did you? Ew.
Well, it was trending.
It's Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith is not the greatest, in my opinion. But he's funny. He has moments.
I mean, he's a known personality, and I think this is an important clip to share because it does show, one, obviously, you can, with vaccines, get a really bad version of COVID. And of course, a reminder that you get the vaccine because it stops you from dying. It doesn't stop you from getting it. A reminder.
I feel like you picked this clip because of the jokes that we had said about when you were like down incredibly bad when you got sick for COVID.
No, I didn't even think about that.
You're subconscious.
Thankfully, I didn't go to the hospital.
Yeah, I'm happy you didn't go to the hospital either, but wow, it was The Walking Dead in your house.
Yep. Yeah. I moved onwards and upwards from that.
Zombies.
That was what's trending this hour. What's happening in entertainment news, Ryan?
Kanye West over the weekend dropped a diss track towards Pete Davidson and publicly claimed that he wasn't invited to his daughter's birthday bash. Yep, a lot went down this weekend. It's time for the T Report. Those pop culture stories trending right now. So Kanye went full on rogue again as he publicly spoke out against not being invited to Chicago's birthday bash. Here is what he had to say.
Yeah, I'm just wishing my daughter a public happy birthday. I wasn't allowed to know where her party was. There's nothing legal. They're saying that these are the kind of games that's being played.
At the light,
it's the kind of thing that really has affected my health for the longest. And I'm just not playing. I'm taking control of my narrative this year. I'm being the father, the best father, the yay version of a father. And I'm not finna let this happen.
You know, here's the thing. I knew something was wrong when I found out in this clip that he actually uses the voice to help him navigate in the GPS system.
By the GPS.
That is disgusting. I turned my voice off immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, that is, you don't use that. You just watch at it. But after all
that's
of that.
That's not safe.
No, you just look at it.
You're not supposed to. That's the point of the voice.
Nuh-uh, because no, look, if you have your phone up on the little holder, you can glance and still look at your phone.
Yeah, I mean, hypothetically speaking.
Uber drivers do it all the time. Oh, you thought your joke landed?
Oh. And it's not a joke. It's real.
Okay, well, after all of that, he then says that Travis Scott actually was the one to give him the information to where it all was going down.
Yo, I'm so happy right now. I just came from Shy's party, and I just got a shout out to Travis Scott for sending me the address and the time and making sure that I was able to spend that birthday memory with my daughter, to be there with the rest of the family. And I just saw everybody. It was Chris and Corey and Kylie. Kylie let me in right when I got to the spot because the security, you know, stopped me once again when I got there.
I mean, he's been kind of creepy. It sucks that he was let, you know, he wasn't allowed to like come to the party, even though he did show up, and they were kind of keeping him out of it. But also, he kind of has brought this on himself in the way that he's handled himself, and also threatening Kim Kardashian's, you know, boo Pete Davidson in a song. Like, it's just a lot. And then also him getting a house right across the street from their house, like Kim Kardashian's house.
I can't even keep up.
There's a lot of things that he's doing that's a
little
sketch.
So how hard? Oh, I guess it wasn't at her house. Couldn't he have just gone across the street?
No, because it was a combination party. It was Stormy and Chicago together.
Of course. Couldn't he just have texted Travis Scott instead of putting up the video?
Well, Travis let him know I guess he had to say thank you.
I mean.
Yeah, true. On. That is your team report. We got more coming up next hour.
Okay, after this, we have someone joining us who was hurt and destroyed by conversion therapy. So she turned it around and now has a new foundation to help others. Her story next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It can be extremely difficult to watch a loved one go through conversion therapy or support those healing from the trauma of the past. Mm-hmm. And one mother is sharing her story that led her to launching the Atlanta Faith Chen Foundation. Joyce Calvo joins us right now. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. Well, you appreciate
wrote,
it.
Yeah, you wrote this very powerful op-ed in NCR Online, and it was just very honest and vulnerable about what you went through that led you to creating this. Why have you decided to speak out and be so open about this and really make this your mission?
Well, first of all, I'll just say that my niece, Tara, my daughter, Krista, and my son, Sabatino, they started the foundation, and they started it, oh my gosh, within a week or two after this terrible tragedy happened. And they just poured all their heart into it and, you know, going through unbearable shock and grief. And it's been great. So basically the foundation in Alana's name raises money to help give people suffering from conversion therapy, LGBTQ plus people suffering from conversion therapy that can't afford their, good therapy, you know, or they can't afford enough good therapy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's so important what the work they're doing. And myself, as her mother, and I was very close to her, but I didn't know until she was 21 that she actually thought she might be attracted to women. From then on, I didn't have a lot of time, but I was trying everything I could to help her. And she really needed more, you know, more treatment centers, more therapy. So that's a big reason. And also that I'm working on this, but also Alana said before, and she said it in her journals, you know, I couldn't have my voice. Hmm. And she also said, people need to know about this, what happened to me, because it was really, really bad. And they're straight from her journals.
Yeah, when I was reading your beautiful article, your essay, I was always wondering, because when you're going through and recounting those moments, I was wondering, when you reflect on this as a parent, were there any, like, regrets that you had to work through or you had to, you know, confront? Like,
yeah.
What were you feeling, if you don't mind kind of detailing that?
The regrets. Oh, my gosh. I have so many regrets. And that's really hard for people around me, my children. I know they want me to move on from that.
Yeah.
Everybody will say, you know, you were the mama bear, you did everything, but I don't believe I did. There was so much more to be done. I regret, there was another treatment center I wanted her to go to weeks before she passed, another therapist that I had found, a different psychiatrist. The psychiatrist was terrible. I could go on and on. Just sitting with her more and more hours of the day, listening, and because Alana was quiet and she struggled, and she also was holding things back. You know, she was told never to tell, and even though she had told us, I guess when she was 21, she still was, you know, somewhat holding back. And she, one time she said she was afraid of what David Nix would do.
Well, yeah, let's discuss what exactly happened, just for context, to so people listening who are already obviously drawn in by this important story so they can understand more.
Sure. So you want to know what happened, the background of when I first found out?
Yeah, just about Alana and what actually happened, how she went through conversion therapy and then had gone through it, but then unfortunately had is no longer here.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah, it's a long story, so I'll try to be brief.
Yeah, of course.
So let's see. I raised my kids Catholic in a sense of I wanted them to go through the sacraments in case when they got older, they could be allowed to be Catholic. It's kind of the rules. I suffered with leaving churches and trying to find churches, and I couldn't stand most of them. So I found this one in Boulder, Colorado, and it seemed very open and liberal and inclusive. The priest who's still the pastor there now, he's very funny and dynamic and appears to be very... there's an article on him called The Hipster Priest. So I was drawn in, and I was happy I finally found a church like that. And Alana went to a camp right before for the summer, and it was run by college students. And she loved them. She loved the whole camp. So did my other daughter, but my other daughter couldn't stay. She had ballet camp, and she had to choose. Thank God she chose a ballet camp. But she heard different things there, a lot of different things like, well, gay was a mortal sin, you'd burn in hell, you have to, just other things. And but at the same time, these students were wonderful, loving, and it was really fun camp. So she asked to go to the next one, and it was at St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church in Boulder, where she met David Nix. He's no longer a priest. He actually can't be a priest in the state of Colorado, but he has a very, I don't know what the word for it. He has a blog, and he lives in Denver, and I'm sure he has a big following. But anyway, he met her outside of Mass one day. She didn't tell me she was going every day. She became very devout after that camp. Like, she fell in love with the religion. The college students were so wonderful. And so she did a middle school youth group, loved it. And then he saw her one day outside of Mass. I didn't even know she was going every day. I wouldn't have allowed her to go to this part of town by herself on the bus. But he just came up to her and said, "Oh, have you ever thought of being a nun?" And struck up a conversation with her. And then I guess about months later, he asked if she wanted to see him for spiritual direction, which I'm a trained certified spiritual director, and we're never trained to meet with a minor.
Yeah.
He was meeting with her in his office. I never knew. So anyway, it started like that. And then she felt, I guess, safe and loved, and told to be respect your elders. And she confided in him that she thought she was attracted to girls. And that started the whole thing, because he said, no, that's a mortal sin. And then he just became meeting with her, grooming her, teaching her. I'm not supposed to use the word grooming, but that's what it felt like. Because it was making her perfect to be a nun. And then she wanted to be, because she really felt, well, I'll be saved, and I love this religion so much. And so it went on, and I didn't know. I forbade her to go see him. I actually found out, and one time I went there, and he bashed my entire family. We weren't really Catholic, this and this. And then I was like, no, you can't do this. I wish I had done more at that point. But I felt like the higher ups really wouldn't have done anything. Yeah. I just said she couldn't do it. And she was meeting with him or on the phone. And I still didn't know that she was gay. So I didn't think it could be that awful. I forbade her, but had no idea that this was what he was telling her.
And so once she was done this, she left herself, and then, you all tried to bring her to therapy and to get support. Just it wasn't enough at that point.
Yeah, I found out. Yeah, I found out she was getting ACL surgery. She was on the Frisbee team in high school and at CU Boulder. And she was on medication, and we were together on the couch for 2 weeks. I was always taking the ice and making sure the ice machine was loaded. And she was telling me certain things, and I was like, what is going on? And I knew she seemed so sad and depressed. And then she finally told me. And then she was, weeks later, a priest and a nun and her best friend from the church showed up at the door, and I wasn't home, and they took her to an ER in Louisville. And I found out there, I was in complete shock. And I didn't find out everything. I just said, are you really suicidal? Like, I don't understand, you know? And she said, yes. And then they took her away. And so then then I was reading all the journals at home. So every day I was reading those. She has so many journals, and I have most of them. Wow. So I have proof of everything. And yeah, I was reading the journals. I'd cry every day. I was just shocked. Well, and then after that, I proceeded to figure out where to take her, and it was just constant for the next few years. But I honestly don't think I did enough. That's the regret, you know.
Well, Joyce, I mean, obviously, you are an incredible mom, and you continue to be, and in sharing her story and her legacy. So we want to thank you for being here and really opening up and sharing everything. It means a lot.
Thank you. Well, I did pray to her to speak through me, because Alana said she needed to have her voice, and she was going to write a book. And she basically said in her journal, you know, everyone needs to know this is really bad.
Oh, definitely.
So anyway, I'm so glad I'm here, and I'm so glad my children and my niece started the Alana Faith Chen Foundation. Please donate, because they're helping all these people who can't afford therapy or need a lot more therapy. And there's a lot of people that are suicidal and really depressed. So
yeah, and we're gonna actually, after this, we're gonna be talking more about that with a conversion therapy survivor,
Christopher Dowling,
who was a very dear friend of Alana's. But Joyce Calvo, mother of Alana, and also behind Alana Faith Chen Foundation. Thank you again. Have a great rest of your day.
Okay. Thank you so much.
If you or someone you know has been through conversion therapy and need a place for support, we've been talking to those behind the Alana Faith Chen Foundation, who is doing just that. We just spoke to her mom, Joyce Calvo, who was incredible in really sharing everything and what happened and what led to this moment. But right now we have Christopher Dowling with us right now, a conversion therapy survivor, friend of Alana's, who attended seminary to become a priest as well. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And context to how I'd say I'm a friend of Alana is, you know, unfortunately in this life, I never met Alana. I read the story online, and it stopped me in my tracks, because it basically was my life. And I reached out to Joyce on Facebook. I found her, and it took about a year after she was working through the trauma to respond. And so Joyce and I have struck up a friendship, and I feel like she's a mother to me. And basically, a bunch of guys that have since come out of the closet, who have dropped out of Catholic seminary in various ways, felt like we lived Alana's life, and we're like an extended family to Joyce. Mm-hmm. And so just really passionate about the foundation, the work that it does, and someone who is alive today and is lucky to be alive when Alana isn't, you know?
So actually, let's talk about the work that the foundation does. Can you elaborate on that? Because I think it's so important to do that and highlight this.
Yeah. So, you know, Alana underwent the wrong kind of therapy, right? She was undergoing conversion therapy with pastoral leaders. And so her family immediately started the foundation to say, we need to provide mental health counseling services that are affirming, right, of someone's identity, the way that they're created, and rejoicing in that. And so that's what they provide. So any donations go directly to support mental health services. And then if you are somebody that's listening that needs that, you can go to the Alana Faith Chen Foundation, reach out to them, and they can connect you with a therapist. And as we know, so much, telehealth is virtual now, and there's so much available to people who need help that maybe are in the closet or don't have an affirming family or a way to get help. They could reach out and receive those mental health services.
That is so important. I mean, there is so much lack, obviously, of that out there, which is why an organization like this needs to, be in front of more people.
Yeah. And I think for me, what comes up is obviously religion and the LGBTQ plus community. It's a very contentious relationship, right? Oftentimes they do not mesh well, as we clearly see in this story. What do you have to say for people who are trying to navigate their spirituality while also accepting 100% of their spirit, who they are and their identity?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. This whole battle or the debate around conversion therapy, the way that I received it, the way that Alana received it, It wasn't from a licensed therapist. And so a lot of the laws that we have, thank gosh, that are being passed are around, you know, stripping a license of a therapist who performs conversion therapy. But, you know, priests, religious people, blog posts, right? Like, the unfortunately, the First Amendment protects, you know, religious people or non-licensed professionals from sort of promulgating the conversion therapy crap, right, that, like, oppressed us. And so that's really the way that we got pinned. And so my encouragement is just to keep Googling your way out of it. You know, I mean, I laugh in a funny way. My boyfriend, you know, he's a couple years younger than me. He had Glee, right? So, like, he grew up with Glee, and that was huge for him. You know, he had YouTube videos where he was watching gay marriages in the library when he was in high school, you know? Yeah. Like, he had that. I was a couple years ago. I didn't have that, right? Like, I had blog posts and books that were just telling me that I could pray it away. Like, that was the kind of crap that I was consuming, you know?
Yeah. Well, again, we're talking to Christopher Dowling, conversion therapy survivor, again, sharing the story of Alana, of this amazing organization, and his own. So I guess, what advice do you have, you know, for families dealing with this, and friends who want to be there for individuals who are still healing and moving through this trauma?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was the biggest, it was community, right? Like, the Alana Chin Foundation provides therapy, but there are fantastic organizations out there that, for me, that I was a very devoted Christian Catholic, like, I needed an affirming LGBT Christian organization to accept me. So, you know, Googling affirming churches, affirming organizations, for me, that was the bridge that I had to have to hear other stories like me. So on a personal level, like, those organizations to provide community are great. You know, and I could rattle off a few, but I really want to bring focus to the Alana Chin Foundation. But then just the knowledge that, like, we have to fight this through stories and culture, right? Like, of the people that went through conversion therapy, 4 of 5 people did it from a religious leader, right? So, like, conversion therapy laws are in 20 states, but they don't restrict the practice for religious providers. And Alana did everything right. Like, people called her the saint. She was helping the homeless. She was, you know, people experiencing homelessness. She was, you know, the leader on her ultimate frisbee team. Everybody adored her. She was the kindest girl, and she lost her life because of this traumatic, toxic, you know, theology that we were all raised in.
Well, thank you again for joining us today and for this conversation. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And I appreciate it, and hope anyone would be willing to support the Alana Chin Foundation. So I really appreciate it, and y'all have a good day.
Yeah, you too. That, again, was Christopher Dowling. Again, the URL where you can go to donate, to be part of it, to share with a friend, alanafaithchen.org, O-R-G. And next up, we are honoring a furry LGBTQ icon whose video, there's a video going viral right now. We're going to play that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Next. Okay, so sad news, Marlon Brando, the Pence's family pet rabbit, who rose to superstardom, was the subject of multiple children's books, one which actually champions LGBTQ rights, you know, a Pence favorite,
yeah,
has died. So, you know, R.I.P., Marlon Brando.
I mean, this isn't a sad thing. I'm pretty sure Marlon is, or what's his name, Marlon? He's like pretty probably excited to be away from the Pences.
Charlotte Pence, the daughter of Mike Pence, announced the bunny's death on Instagram, writing that he taught me how to always try to be kind first and never stop making an effort to get along.
A bunny taught you that and not humans?
not her dad, obviously.
Wow. Dr. Doolittle over there.
So, I mean, there needed to be someone who was doing the right thing in that family.
You mean something? Because it's not a one. It's not a person.
I mean,
it's a bunny.
Bunnies are people too. They're they're living creatures. Well, you might also
know, do think this is a hilarious story,
yeah,
though.
I mean, you might also know about the bunny and the reason why we bring it up, because a lot of people trolled the bunny when they came up with this. They had a book for for actually Pence. Karen Pence had released a children's book called Marlo Bundy's A Day in the Life of the Vice President. And when everyone like was trolling this, John Oliver came out with this hilarious segment.
Help. Oh, it's
coming right
now. We
got some tech issues. We are in Mercury retrograde, by the way.
That is very true.
We also wrote a book about Mike Pence's rabbit that has also been published. In fact, while his is out tomorrow, ours is released right now. Now, there are a few small differences between the two books. You'll notice right away that our rabbit has a bow tie, so you know, there's that. Also, our story is about Marlon Brando falling in love with another boy rabbit, because our Marlon Brando is gay, just like the real Marlon Brando.
So there you go. Oliver's book, A Day in the Life of Marlon Brando. It's not just a joke. It actually came out, and it was voiced by some incredible folks like Jim Parsons, Jesse Tyler Ferguson, John Lithgow, and RuPaul. And proceeds, as he mentioned, went from. Oh, did you play the part of the clip where he mentioned that?
No.
I was having headphone issues. Speaking of tech issues, proceeds from the book sales went to the Trevor Project and AIDS United, and that's a way to celebrate Marlon Brando, the rabbit. That's the rabbit's legacy.
I mean, honestly, I'm happy they created another legacy for this bunny instead of being like a part of that family. Because, you know, pets can't help it who their owners are. That's the thing.
That's true.
And I can only imagine the trauma that that bunny went through. And Mike Pence probably will, you know, be subpoenaed for the January 6th committee, but also he needs to be subpoenaed on Oliver's or Marlo's death.
Oliver? What is Oliver?
I don't know, because the book.
Oliver
I got
Twist?
Yeah, I got
something?
The Oliver's book.
John Oliver. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, we are sending our best wishes to the bunny in this next phase. <It's> like... Next up, I'm actually interested in this next story, which you're bringing us in the tier report.
You weren't interested in this story?
No. I was entertained by it.
Oh, great.
Adele, how much money is she actually making in Vegas? We've got that answer next.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's always interesting coming back to work after a long weekend. It's like you gotta oil up or add some grease to the wheels.
Speak for yourself. I feel great. I do.
Ryan always goes with me.
No, but I do.
I'm not saying I don't feel.
But you know,
great.
There are some days that I don't.
You know,
some days I'm just
I'm
like,
just like, you know, I'm
the
not...
tail end of last week, I was kind of like, oh yeah, I'm ready for this 4-day weekend.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, maybe I was practicing enough on the radio over the weekend. Actually, I'm.
I hope you were.
Actually,
I want
I'm
you
on
to take
Twitter
some rest.
Spaces a lot. Maybe I'm getting, Twitter spaced out.
Oh.
You know, that's like a lot of people are doing that now. Are you seeing that?
Yeah, it's like Clubhouse.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, we've got lots going on this hour. Also more music here on Channel Q.
Boop, boop.
We're going to be talking about a broth tale. More on the new trend-setting drink later this hour. And what is Adele actually making in Vegas? The number will blow your minds. In the Tea Report with Ryan in a moment. First, let's get into some what's trending this hour. The American LGBTQ Plus Museum announced it had selected the organization's first executive director, Ben Garcia. The American LGBTQ Plus Museum will be the first museum dedicated to queer history and culture in the city. Well, that's exciting, right? I mean, definitely want to check that out. So we'll be following more on that, definitely. And that's going to be happening in New York. If any local New Yorkers are listening, you can be checking that out soon. Now, this is a crazy story. A Tennessee man was awarded more than $9 million after he was served cleaning liquid instead of water at a Marion County Cracker Barrel.
What?
He was dining at the restaurant in April 2014 for lunch when a waitress accidentally refilled his glass with a mix of water and EcoSan, a commercial-grade bleach.
How does that even happen?
He got $9 million. Yeah.
How
was
does
that
purposeful? Even happen?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, I used to work at Cracker Barrel. I did. I was,
you did?
Yeah, I did. I worked as a cashier in the front, and I would do to-go orders. And I just know back in the back of the kitchen, the sanitation water is nowhere near the actual, the you know, the pitcher of water or
and the cleaning
stuff. The soda water dispenser. Uh-huh. And so it's a little strange because normally the sanitation water is in like a bucket with the rags. So I'm not sure she done dipped that. I mean, maybe he deserved it, but he got a $9 million payoff. So girl,
that's
think
what
smarter, not harder.
Yeah. And finally, we missed Betty White's 100th birthday. It was yesterday, and the Cincinnati Zoo named a baby penguin Rose in honor of her Golden Girls character. Let me tell you, that penguin is cute. Baby penguins are always adorable.
Yeah, they are. Even though, there's something about penguins that I just don't trust. Like, I think they're...
would say that.
It's true. I liked Happy Feet. It was great. But ain't nobody feet that happy. There's something about penguins that I just don't trust. They're a little weird looking to me. And then, like, there's giant... There's a video I saw, actually, just this past weekend of a... I forgot what type of penguin it was, but it's an actual... It's like a 4-foot-tall penguin. It was a big penguin.
Emperor penguins, yes.
What the hell?
Is that, like, the king of the castle?
Why is that damn thing was so big? I was really confused by it. It's a very scary
thing. You know what it is?
Thing.
Animal privilege.
I don't know. It was a very scary thing.
I was in Chile on the Isla de Magdalena. It's a penguin island. And at first you're like, oh, this is really fun and cute to go on this penguin island. Until you get dropped off there. And
with all of them?
Stay there.
Oh, that sounds like a nightmare.
Thousands. And you have wind and the sand of their, basically, their feces going into your eye and your mouth. And very quickly you're like, this is not cute anymore. Get me off this penguin island.
Oh God. And I don't know. You know, penguins are actually the least favorite when I go to the zoo. Or like an aquarium.
I think they're cute overall.
They're my least favorite. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Okay.
They really are.
Well, happy birthday, Betty White. We miss you.
Yeah, Betty. But I'm sorry that you had to be, copied by a penguin.
That was what's starting this hour. What's happening in entertainment news, Ryan?
Okay, let's talk Adele. Oh my goodness. You will not believe the crazy amount of money that Adele is making on her Las Vegas residency. It's time for the Tea Report. Those pop culture stories trending right now. So, girl, Adele will reportedly rake in a whopping $600,000 per night during her Las Vegas residency, which is due to kick off this weekend. I mean, cha-ching! Yeah. That fee would make the British megastar one of the highest paid female stars in the history of Las Vegas residencies altogether, which is actually like wild. Because here are some other top grossing residencies. Number one, Celine Dion. You want to know how much she made?
Yeah.
$681 million.
That is almost $1 billion.
Britney Spears coming in number two, $140 million. Elton John, $131 million. Jennifer Lopez, $120 million. Cher, $97 million. Lady Gaga, $75 million. Rod Stewart, $50 million. And Bruno Mars, it wasn't like recorded on like how much he actually raked in, but apparently he was like making a ton of money, but like we just don't know publicly, but
wait,
it's like a lot.
$600,000 a night. So, I mean, that's how many nights does she perform?
Girl, I don't even think it matters. And she's staying in like a 30K. She's staying in like a suite that's 30K a night, and it comes with her own butler.
That's amazing. I'm not.
So she's doing it. She's really doing it in style.
Plus, Vegas taxes.
You don't have them, right?
Yeah.
That's incredible. Shout out to her. She deserves. That is your team report. We got more coming up next.
Well, next up, why the internet has rallied around this man's terrible first date. What actually went down next?
I like this song.
This guy's horrible first date is going viral on Reddit. And I want to know from you if you think this is that bad and what you would do if you would have been in this situation. So he was waiting at a boba shop, right, to meet his date.
First mistake.
That is not fair. Anyway, moving on.
Boba is so gross.
It's a matter of taste.
That's why I said it was a mistake.
So he goes... The person he was going to meet goes, Bet, see you soon then, gray hoodie. And then the guy who's waiting at the boba shop goes, yeah, haha. So he sees the person because they've been chatting and FaceTiming. He sees the person pass him. The person doesn't say anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then texts him, ugh, ew, no thanks. So basically saw him in person, was not into it, and went out the door. Like, is it as bad as you think people are making it out to be? I mean, this is a pretty crappy situation.
I mean, honestly, this is, as the queer person in the room, this is what queer, I mean, this is a lot of people's queer experience, especially
really?
Going into gay spaces. Like, yeah, meeting someone, like, at a bar. Like, there's plenty of TikToks where one I saw was, like, a plus-size guy went to a bar, tried to, like, just, you know, hit on a guy. It was just like what anyone would do if they're going out to a club to meet other people. And literally people have, like, the guy, like, rejected him and commented on his weight. And so there is this kind of unfortunate meanness that comes with the territory. However, apparently, even though the guy said he was upfront about his height, it seemed like maybe he didn't all the way tell
the truth. Are you blaming it on this guy?
No, I'm just saying. He said he was taller than he was. And I feel like that probably caught the guy off. Now, the way the guy that responded, that's garbage. Like, don't respond to someone like that.
And added ugly, like, but, sad cat emoji.
But I would have been thrown catfish. Off as well. Yeah, like catfish. Oh. Wow.
Oh, wow. I told you. It's, you know, I'm a bit rusty today. I'm a bit rusty. That was the most mom statement.
But, you know, first dates can be hard. Like, I get so, like, nervous on first dates because you just don't know, like, if someone is expecting you to look like yourself or, like, you know, when you're seeing someone in person, like, how much face tune have they done? Is he making himself look a little taller in those photos, you know? And the guy did say you did look taller in your pics and on FaceTime.
All right.
So I get where this guy was coming from, but then also, like, I hate how he responded. It was so classic and kind of mean. Where it's just not okay.
So, yeah, I have been single, I never did blind dates, or I guess because I didn't do the app thing, so I never was put in this situation. The one time I told my friend that she could set me up, it was cute. I actually spent time with the person. We had a lovely night. I knew from the get-go, like, this probably isn't my person. But, you know, I said, we're here. Let's just have a nice drink and talk.
But
being good humans.
Like, you're like nice. You didn't even know what a cat and a fish
emoji
was.
No, I know what catfish is.
So,
I just didn't connect.
You're just so sweet. You're just too sweet. And so when you're talking about, like, gay people and oftentimes there can be some, like, little mean tendencies.
Is it different with well, you're talking about gay, your experience dating men.
Is and this is a gay
same,
story.
Obviously. But is it same with lesbians? I feel like women could be maybe
Let's
hopefully
get Michaela
nicer.
On the phone.
I want to know, Michaela. Give us a call. Because I feel, all right, this is also, you know, an umbrella statement. I feel like maybe women are nicer. I don't know.
I mean, that's probably its version of it. I feel like in every place, there's even in heterosexual relationship, there's most definitely a version of a mean response or someone not, you
I feel
know,
like
seeing
dudes
someone.
Would do, it's like, men that would do this if they saw the woman was in.
I feel like women would do it too.
Going to my thing of heterosexual dating on Tinder, because that's actually where I met my wife, was on Tinder.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. But before that, when I was seeing other girls, if you didn't drive a certain amount of certain car, you didn't have a certain amount of income, you didn't have a certain amount of look or a certain amount of height,
I get that.
They will check you out.
But that's what it
but
is.
But once
this
you
exactly
actually
is.
Are there, would they at least just have a coffee, even though they say, man, you're not my type?
Oh, does it even get to a coffee?
Sometimes it doesn't. And if it does, sometimes you're paying. Right?
Yeah, most times you're paying.
Oh, wow. Look at the traditional coming out.
Actually, wait a second.
Going Dutch is a fun thing.
I said for first date, I like someone.
Oh, I do. I paid the first date, too.
Can you be a feminist
but
and think
I also
that
think
way?
That there, you shouldn't be expecting it.
Yes.
I don't expect it. I just.
Now, you did.
Know.
You do expect it. You literally just said, well, every first date.
We're in 2022, folks.
That's what I'm saying. You
know?
My first date that I just went on, I was going to pay, but he was like, no, like, you don't have to do that. And I'm like, all right, let's, like, we can split it. And we did.
Yeah.
And we're hanging out again.
Beautiful.
There you go.
Just don't be Shira. In any case. At any moment.
At any moment. I promise you there are moments that it's really fun being Shira.
I doubt it.
Actress Jennifer Goodwin appeared on SiriusXM's Pop Culture Spotlight with Jessica Shaw. And during the interview, she said that she offered her husband's sperm to a friend who wanted children. And I guess it's bringing up a bigger conversation of, would you share your partner with a friend if it meant they could, they could have a child. And share your partner, meaning whether it be donate an egg or a sperm to help them have a child.
She was going to give her husband's sperm to her friend. And I find this to be... I find it to be weird, actually. Like, I think there's a lot that you can do to give support to your friend. But, like, do you want your husband to have another child just out here willy-nilly?
Well, I don't think it's really like that.
It is like that. Because I think, he would, I mean, it's his
Well,
it's his
it
DNA.
Is, but in...
Technically, yeah,
You
right?
know, I really appreciate and acknowledge people who can...
It's sweet.
...give their egg or their sperm to someone and not feel that... immediate reaction, like attachment, like, oh, it's me. You know, it is my child, but it's not my child, you know, where they can do it or carry someone's child and be able to do it in this, like, really altruistic way. This is a very beautiful thing to do. I agree. I don't know. I might have a hard time, like, if one of my girlfriends didn't have someone and needed a sperm donor if they just went to my partner.
Yeah.
Because then I would say, like, okay, it's basically like my partner has another child out there. Like, or maybe he would, what if that child looked exactly like your partner? That would be freaky.
Yeah, I think that, so it's like, I understand it's kind of like the same way of like, I mean, it's literally surrogacy, but it's like just sperm in some ways where you're getting an egg.
The difference is it is your DNA, like you're passing it on. And
yeah, isn't that what, I mean, surrogacy is with an egg.
Oh, no, but surrogacy is more you're carrying a child. So
oh,
really,
yeah. Well, you know, I mean, the process of egg donating and, like, that's what I meant. But
I mean, this is something that, you know...
It's kind of the same thing, but just a male form, in my opinion, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I think...
Okay, yeah, I got it.
I think it's... It's beautiful that they have that type of relationship. I think, you know, Jenny deserves the best friend award, you know? But... Girl, I don't know. Yeah, because like you said, if that baby comes out, the splitting image, and then they somehow run into each other at the school.
Well, they are going to because, like, it's going to be a known thing that.
Well, it depends on. That's actually a great point. Like, do they have the boundaries set? Is he going to know that that's your actual dad? Or are they going to even say anything?
Oh, to other people.
Yeah, and just put it out there.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, but it would be interesting, if the child looks like that. Person, you know, like if I gave you, I mean, I'm going to be too old by the time you want to have kids, but imagine I gave you my egg, Ryan, and then
you
had a child that
you
looked
can just
like,
put a period right there because, like, I don't even know if I want your egg.
Imagine, I said, imagine, I used that word. Imagine, but then what if it came out looking like me?
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Like, you might be like, oh, wow, like, this is amazing. I'm having a child. Like, I always wanted a child, but, you know.
Well, I'm going to have to rethink my pro-life stance. My pro-choice stance. Oh, is that too dark? Is that too weird?
I think we are just going, you know, this is a Tuesday.
No, here's the thing. I don't even know if I can lie right now. I was going to lie and say I would love to have your egg, but I don't want it, actually. I want you
to
keep it.
I think that would be a bit too much.
It would. It would be too much. We're too close for comfort, and I just don't want her or them. There's qualities of you that I like.
I thought we were just going to say in general. We didn't get into the details. I think that you have
now
to
you got me thinking.
Listen. I think that you have to be in a place where
you've
looked at all options and you feel like really your life won't be the same unless you do this one thing. And if that is an option, you will take it, right? But there is a lot to take into consideration.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's a little, it can get messy really quickly unless you have the right community around you who wants to do it. And it seems like they have the right community, which is beautiful. And so kudos for them. I mean, this is the couple that played Snow White and Prince Charming in Once Upon a Time. They were like my favorite, actually.
So they're couple goals and she's just a person.
Yeah, because I was shocked at the fact that they played a couple.
Yeah. They met on set and then they ended up with each other.
It's just so beautiful. So, shout out to her. That's a very, selfless thing to do.
Exactly. Well, next up, would you try a broth tale? More on the new trend-setting drink after this. Are you ready for the next trend in broth tales? That's a new type of cocktail. It's not a bro tale. I thought maybe like bro, like, yo, bros, like a bro tale. It's a broth tale.
Yeah, this sounds gross.
So, it's what you think. In the promo picture, it's literally different types of broths made into an alcoholic, or, you know, if you want to, a non-alcoholic beverage.
Oh my God, Brats are so saucy, so shout out to the demise of their blood pressure.
I'm a broth person. I do like a good broth. However, I don't eat meat, as you might know, anymore. And so it is hard to find.
Was that a new announcement? Was that exclusive?
Breaking news. But this was a really strange campaign from my home country, Campbell's Canada. And they were trying to find a new way to get millennials to be into broth. The ideas that these types of folks have to intrigue millennials around their product always amazes me.
Why is the focus still on us? Don't they got a whole other generation to worry about at this point?
Well, they can't drink yet. I guess they can drink.
Yeah, there's some Gen Zers that can most
but this would be
drink.
This is too high class for Gen
Zers. That's how old we are.
Yeah, like
Gen Zers most definitely can drink.
You know, the Gen Zers would be having, like, you know, the vodka drinks, the tequilas. We're now at the broth tail level.
Now, you know what broths remind me of? It reminds me of dirty bath water.
Well, now that's gross.
I'm telling you, that's what I always think about.
Like, the only thing that looks good, I mean, mushroom broth, faux broth, Thai chicken. The Thai chicken one looks like Bloody Mary. I am into those. I could have one of those a day. Honestly, is that healthy?
You know what? Do what you want to do, and then we'll talk. We'll report live from when you're in the hospital.
And then one a day. Then there's a pork ramen cocktail.
That sounds awful. There's just this thing where I'm like, I respect the art of, you know, the food industry and what they want to do and create, like, really interesting vibes. But girl, like, some things just don't need to be made, you know?
I don't even think it's about interesting vibes. I literally think they thought this would go viral because people would want to do these taste tests and just think either it's really good or really bad.
Who wants to do this?
I actually sent it to my producer to try it out if we could find them. Although, unfortunately, it's in Canada. I don't know if I want to have pork ramen because I don't, you know, eat meat. But I'd be willing to try this out. I'm down for multiple uses of one ingredient. Because if you don't have a lot left in your house and you can just make a lot out of one thing, hey, it's like survival. Like, if the apocalypse happened, you could use broth for a meal, for a drink.
They do have broth tail recipes online, Shira, if we want to make them for you.
Oh, my God. We got to do this. Can we do this on a Friday?
I'm not doing
trying out broth tail.
Shara's going to love this. Hey, Shara, welcome in. We have broth alcohol for you. Congratulations.
No, we're not doing any of this.
I mean, why not? Anything with alcohol. You won't even taste the broth.
You saved this for your mess over there. We're not doing this.
Yeah, it's my mess over here.
Yeah.
Well, would you drink a broth tail? Let us know at LGT Show. And should we try it out live on air?
No. Don't answer that question.
Well, next up, the lawmakers urging the FDA to change blood donor policies for men. That and more next on What's Trending This Hour.
Thank you.
We are wrapping up our show as we always do with our Yes Queen of the Day.
Yes Queen.
You know, I almost had a tear here when that song came on. You know, Betty White would have been 100 years old. And yesterday, in honor of her birthday, fans flooded animal groups with donations in her honor. The donations were encouraged by the hashtag Betty White Challenge on social media, asking fans to donate to shelters on January 17th, which would have been, of course, her 100th birthday. We all know she is no longer here. She died just shy of that. And she was a board member of the American Humane, the first national humane organization in the U.S., largest certifier of animal welfare in the world. And some charities said they were just blown away by the responses. So congrats to everyone on joining in and honoring her amazing life.
I know. You know, I'm happy that everyone's doing this. Hopefully everyone keeps their pets after this because, you know, keeping a pet is like...
I know, we don't want people just to...
Do the challenge just to do it. And
to adopt a pet.
Yeah.
Donate, which is great, but don't just adopt a pet. Betty White would not be proud of you or happy about that if you're just going to bring it back. Just saying, treat your pets well. Well, happy birthday, Betty White. We love you, and that does it for our Yes Queen of the Day.
Yes Queen.
Well, we are back tomorrow weekdays here on Channel Q, 2 to 6 p.m. Pacific, 5 to 9 p.m. Eastern, live. Tomorrow, we are having the senior editor from the Daily Beast join us to talk about more about the anti-trans legislation happening and what's being done to fight that, plus a woman who was shunned because of her job as a sex worker, so she started her own business. She'll be here to share her story tomorrow. If you miss any of our shows or interviews, we post everything as a podcast. Just go to the Odyssey app or where podcasts are available and search Let's Go There. We are sending you love and light.
And honey, remember to slay.
Now stick around for Loveline with Dr. Chris right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.